I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Know someone who might be struggling with their mental health? You can help. As a listener of Sick Boy, you know that we've been having these types of combos forever now. You'll also know that sometimes we make mistakes, and that's okay. We're human. Supporting someone through struggle in their life isn't easy. It's an art, not a science, and we all make mistakes. That being said, we can do our best to prep by educating ourselves. And our friends over at jack.org have created a resource for just that. Check out bethere.org for more information. Let's create a world where we can all better support one another.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast that talks about what it's like to be sick. This week's guest is KP, who shares their experience with abortion in the Canadian medical system. Let's talk about it.
You know what's so funny about that? I've seen Dave do that with a yogurt commercial that he made.
Yeah. Dave sent me that.
Didn't Jer do that in the airport?
Oh,
yeah, that
right.
was me, that's right.
It
yeah.
Was, yeah, it was Jer.
All right, we're talking about TikTok. Let's
that's an e-boy haircut. Like,
oh my god, Brian.
Short on the side, permed on
yeah,
the
we're
top.
Throwing it back. It's a little eight. It's a little 80s. Like,
it's like almost like a flock of seagulls.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like 2019, 1985, like had a baby and
that's style.
And the babies are e-boys.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah. It's been a really productive start. That was the perfect segue. Why don't you throw that in there?
It is. We're talking about TikTok, and I only have two TikToks saved on my phone. I don't actually use TikTok, and this is the one that I saved. But I didn't think about this before we started the recording. But as you pointed out, this might be a great segue into what we're about.
Hey guys, just a little tip. If you like don't want to get a girl pregnant, just like pee in her right after you nut, and it'll cancel out the pregnancy. It works every time.
It's his face that's so funny when he
says
it.
I know.
But Kate, you were like, oh, did you play that because what we're about to talk about? And I was like, no, I didn't, but that's really interesting.
Yeah, you know, maybe if we had done that, I wouldn't have had to get an abortion.
We're talking about abortion!
Yeah! Woo. You just gotta go, yo, pee in me.
Well, you're supposed to pee after sex, I think.
Yeah, you are.
You are, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Typically, like, they're like, go to the bathroom and mm-hmm. pee. But I mean, if you got to go,
yeah,
it's going to cancel the pregnancy, you might as well do that.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to just step in here and say, don't do that. Unless, you know, not to yuck anybody's yum. If that's your kink, then whatever. But try not to pee in someone. Try not to pee in people. I'm just going to say that.
The benefit is that if you pee, you actually won't get a UTI. So
there is right. that. Like, yeah, pee right. in the toilet after you have sex. That is a PSA.
We're just saying you could combine a couple of things together, but it's not true. Kill a few birds with one stone.
It is not true. Peeing in someone after you, quote unquote, nut is not going to cancel the pregnancy. But we are going to talk about canceling a pregnancy.
Yes, we are.
In a way that is real. And, like, I'm guessing a way that's not the most fun experience.
No. It wasn't, like, would give, like, a one-star on Yelp review of that experience. It wasn't great. So where should I start?
It's a good
one
question.
Star on Yelp.
You know, here's the thing. We've covered abortion one time, maybe two times on the show.
One specifically, and then it's come up in conversation.
Mm. Yeah, it's always, I just want to like preface this conversation with, it's always a bit of a bummer. Like personally, I always feel like kind of bummed out afterwards because of abortion being obviously like one of those topics that's very very divisive, mm-hmm. very heavy. There's like, you know, especially this year, like 2019, like there was a lot of stuff in the news, specifically about abortion laws, you know, especially right. down yeah. south. And so it's like, it's always a reminder of like, oh God, why is this such a fucking big deal?
Mm-hmm.
But I guess where we could start is,
you mean like, why is this a big deal in terms of like, why can't we just understand that like women should have the right to choose?
Yeah. Yeah. Like yeah. I mean,
probably because both sides feel so, so solidified in their standing.
Oh,
like
no.
both sides of the argument think that they are, that they're both going, why is this divisive? Mm-hmm. They're both yeah, saying
I know,
that because one thinks the one way and another thinks the other way. Yeah, that's the way that it seems. Anyway.
But what I would say to that is, it's not as controversial an issue, from my understanding, as it is made out to be. But because there's so much stigma about talking about abortion, people who actually have like experience with the issue, or maybe are kind of like on the fence about it, or are like okay with it in certain circumstances, because of the stigma, those people tend not to speak up and speak about their experiences. So the narrative kind of gets hijacked by like the kind of
the louder people,
the smaller, louder group of people who are super, super against it.
Yeah.
And do you feel like maybe the side that's against it is because they're sort of being told to be against it from a, like a political standpoint, like it, because it,
or
it
religious,
it shows up a lot in political, in political debate. And I feel like if it wasn't being politicized, people wouldn't have the stance that they have, because people are very like tribal in the way that they want to be in the camp of the person that they are supporting. And if the person that they're supporting has this idea, then even though it might not necessarily jive really authentically with the way somebody actually feels, they're more likely to like jump on that because it's a part of the platform of the camp that they support. And so, you know, you can get really rah-rah about stuff, even if it's not really like really mm-hmm. how you feel.
Yeah.
I think I'm really excited to learn from you and your experience, because you're the person here who's been through the experience. The last thing I will add to the kind of commentary before this is that from a political perspective, one of the interesting narratives that I heard after the recent Canadian election was that, you know, the conservatives were gaining popularity and they wouldn't openly say whether they were for or against a woman's right to choose.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that, like, by all accounts, Canadians are just like, this should be a non-issue anymore. Like, we right. shouldn't be talking about this. But it still feels like it has to be part of the conservative political agenda, even though we're like, nah, we're kind of done with this. Like,
yeah,
it should just be
direction, though. I guess when that is said, like, you know, we don't feel like this is something that we need to talk about anymore.
Yeah. So,
and then it'll be more likely that, you know, if this podcast was taking place like 5 years from now and that's starting now, then hopefully like this section of the podcast isn't even something that we even talk about, because it's not a thing that you need to discuss and go into like, you know, the controversy or the political or the divisiveness of
having said all of that. What was, when it came to your decision to choose to have an abortion, what was that decision like for you in terms of like, was it like fucking do this? Or was there kind of a battle in your head because of the stigma?
Can I actually back up a little bit?
Let's,
I just want to like take
all the fucking
a
way
second
up.
To like introduce myself. So my name is Emily Kathleen Power, also known as Kate Power, also known as KP. I'm lazy. I've just been shortening my name.
I've just been calling you Kate. So
that's all good.
That's good. Okay. Sweet.
Yeah. And like another aspect of this story, which will become relevant as like, we've been kind of, you guys so far have been saying a woman's right to choose. I actually am non-binary and I use they, them pronouns. So
there we go.
This is something that like, I probably won't use that language. I'll probably say something a little bit more gender neutral, just because that's how I relate to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And
which is going to make it that much more interesting, I think.
Yeah.
In terms of your experience.
Yeah, it definitely did, because the clinic that you go to when you get an abortion in Halifax, at least, is called the Nova Scotia Women's Choice Clinic.
Right.
So, you know, there's like kind of an extra layer of interestingness when you don't really feel like a woman and you're kind of going to get treatment there.
I'm so glad that you bring this lens to this conversation, because like that is no, something that I've never thought about. And even in the conversation that we were having before, I'm like, oh, fuck. Okay, right. Okay, I get it.
So,
what a perfect way to introduce yourself.
Yeah.
No worries. So when it came to kind of making that decision, it wasn't really a decision in a way, because as soon as I found out that I was pregnant, I basically knew immediately that I was going to be getting an abortion, because like no part of me right now is prepared to bring a child into the world. That's not something me and my partner have like ever wanted or discussed like wanting in our relationship. So it was kind of like, that didn't mean that it wasn't like hard, and like there was like part of me that like did kind of, as I was getting ready to do it, go down the other road in my head, I guess. But it wasn't ever like really considering the other option for myself, if like, that makes sense.
Yeah, like you felt pretty confident that you were making this decision. And like, because I know that when we spoke to someone before who had an abortion, the process with which they had to go through to get the abortion, and I don't know if this is true or not, but it kind of sounded like they made the process the way it is to almost like lead you into perhaps changing your mind, you know, by like waiting a certain amount of time and like kind of continuously going, are you sure this is the decision you want to make? Are you sure this is the decision you want to make? What was the process like? Like, you know, how early did you find out you were pregnant?
Oh,
and like, when are you?
I found out super, super, super early, because I have like anxiety, and I, part of how that kind of manifests is like, I'm a bit of a hypochondriac. So, as soon as, like, I think I had gotten back from a trip in Ontario, and my partner and I had some fun times, like welcome home sex and stuff like that. And like about a week or two later, I started feeling like super weird. Like my body just felt wrong. Like for one thing, my boobs were huge all of a sudden, and that is like very unusual for me.
Wait, that quick?
Yeah, it was weird. It was super quick.
Whoa.
Yeah. So I actually took a test like a week before even I was expecting my period, just because I was so paranoid, and it came back negative. And I was like, all right, well, it was like an early detection test, so I was like, eh, maybe I'm fine.
Because do those, like, is it common for those to give like a false positive?
Well, I don't know if it's common for them to give like a false positive, but it came back negative.
Oh, it came back negative. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Got you.
So when I initially took the test, but then like another week or so went by, and I was at the point where my period should have shown up, and it didn't. And so at that point I was like, maybe I should go check again. And I remember I was debating how long I should wait before I checked, but I knew my partner was actually leaving to go to Scotland the next day. So I was like, I'm going to check today, because I don't want to have to call him and tell him this while he's like in Scotland and have to kind of deal with that realization by myself. So I went, took the test, came back positive, and it was like 1 to 2 weeks pregnant. So really, really early.
What was that feeling like?
I think I literally shouted fuck in my bathroom by myself.
God, fuck.
Yeah.
I've been in the scenario where like with me and my girlfriend in high school, like we had a bit of a scare because like her period was late. We didn't realize at the time that I've been shooting blanks my entire life. But I remember standing outside the bathroom and her inside the bathroom and like expecting to hear her just shout fuck. And was like, oh my God, please don't. Please do not do this, especially in my parents' house. If my parents hear this, my dad's already told me don't get her pregnant.
He just hears so much trouble. He just hears the sound of your girlfriend yelling fuck, and he goes,
I told you, Jared.
Fucking pregnant.
Yeah. Were you using any form of contraception?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, we were, but like
peeing inside.
Yeah, that's what we were doing. Yeah. So we were somewhat spotty in our, like, I wasn't on any birth control because honestly, before I started seeing this guy, my form of contraception was just being gay. Like, I've never
right.
never seriously been in a relationship with a man before. So, I wasn't on the pill. I should have gotten on the pill faster. I actually had a prescription to start birth control. Like,
was it something that you were like, that when you started dating a guy, you were like, oh, like this? Or was it just like, it's just like you kind of like change scenarios and it's just like a, it's just something that you forget to even fucking think about.
I was like, I should get on this. And like, I did, like I said, I had a prescription for birth control, like with me, like, and I was going to start it, like, cause you're supposed to start it at like a certain time in your cycle. So I was kind of just killing time until I could start taking it. But like in the interim, I got pregnant.
Right.
So.
How long were you guys, how long were you guys like sexually active before that?
Way too long before it. Like, okay. It was like several months. Yeah.
Right.
I guess like, it's kind of like that weird, like thing where, you know, when you're younger.
I feel like, sorry to interrupt you, but I feel like, I just want to let you know that like, I'm not judging at all.
Okay.
And there's no judgment around that. I'm just curious.
You sound pretty judgy.
But why didn't you?
Yeah. I just really want you to know that like, I have no opinion about that. I'm just curious because I imagine that our listeners are probably like, fuck, like, well, how long? Because I imagine that there's a ton of people listening who are like, oh, well, I've been having sex without like protection or contraception. And like, fuck, I'm like, how long has she been doing this? Like, it was it the first time? Was it after like
they, Brian.
Was it like they? Sorry,
no, it's okay.
Sorry, I'll be better.
I'm gonna be on it. I'm
yeah,
on
good.
It.
Good. Awesome. I'm glad that you did that.
No, it's good. I feel like it's good to hear the correction because I feel like it happens. Like people get misgendered all the time, and as long as you correct yourself and kind of move on, like,
mm-hmm. yeah, right.
It's not a huge...
Yeah, it's like you know, like a few reps and you're
I'll get
the
it.
Groove.
Yeah, it's funny. It's to put it into like a really like trivial way. I'm driving my girlfriend's family's old car right now,
mm-hmm.
and the
which is
the
a death
right
machine.
The right signal light doesn't work. It like ticks really fast. It goes like, tick 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 tick, and when I'm on the phone with my girlfriend. She's like, stop using that blinker. It doesn't work and it's annoying. The sound is annoying. Stop turning it on. And like, it's just my habit of always turning it on, always turning it on. Mm. And like, at first I was like making the excuse, well, like, but it feels right to turn it on even though I know it's not working. But she's like, please stop turning it on. It's really annoying hearing it tick really fast. And like now after like a couple of weeks, I'm like, all right, I'm just not going to use a right signal light. But
mm-hmm. metaphor for habits.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
So I'll get better. I hope it doesn't take me a couple of weeks, but I will use they,
weeks,
them
yeah.
pronouns.
We're going to try to tighten it up in an hour.
Yeah, yeah, I get it.
What's late? I'm sure it's different for everybody, but what's late for you?
For me, because I'm super paranoid, it was like 2 days. Mostly.
Okay, well, yeah, right.
Well, but, because yeah. For some people, it's like, I mean...
Like, by the
like
hour?
On the day, and if it doesn't happen on the day, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Like, I have, like, an app that tells me when I'm supposed to get my period, mm-hmm. so it gave me the notification that was like, your period seems a little late, and I was mm-hmm. like, fuck.
Whoa, the app even said that?
Yeah, it'll give you a notification if you, like, don't put in that you've started bleeding yet. It's like,
interesting.
Yeah.
What's that app
super
called?
Interesting.
It's called Clue.
Okay.
Yeah, it's free. I think there's, like, in-app purchases, but you don't need them, so don't right. bother.
Like when you're really interested to know how late you are, it's like, do you want to buy this backpack? It just pops up an ad and it takes 15 seconds to go away and you're like, come on.
When you decided to go through with the test and mm-hmm. you yell fuck because you find out, all right, you are indeed pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
What was the conversation like with your partner?
So we actually... Because we had been stupid in the past and, like, I had taken Plan B and stuff like that, like, we had kind of already broached the subject just in case. So, basically, I, like, met him after he finished work and we just, like, sat in his car. I had a bit of a cry. We kind of just both confirmed that what we had already established was what we were still going to do. And then it was kind of just like, well, shit, you're leaving for Scotland for 2 weeks tomorrow. So this is now going to be like a bit more challenging because now I'm kind of a little bit on my own and, you know, I have friends and stuff in the city who I was like able to talk to, but it's kind of not the same when you don't have like your main support person around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that person is in that with you mm-hmm. in a different way than
yeah, of course.
You know, the other people around you.
Mm. So you then, you know, like, cause this is again, pretty early on.
Mm-hmm.
What is like kind of step by step, like what is the process from then forward? Like, do you have a family doc or?
Oh God, no.
right. Because you were talking about going to the women's,
choice clinic.
Was that the first place you went?
No, actually. So basically what I did first is I called the Nova Scotia Sexual Health Clinic and I was like, I need to talk about an unwanted pregnancy. And they're like, are you looking to discuss options or are you looking for a termination? And I was like, I'm looking for to get a termination. And they're like, okay, so Nova Scotia actually has changed their laws. You don't need a doctor referral anymore. You can self-refer yourself to the Nova Scotia Women's Choice Clinic. And basically you call them and then they set up everything for you. But it's like within the framework of the Nova Scotia Women's Choice Clinic. So
how do you know how recent that is? Like
I think within the last like year or two.
Oh, wow. Okay. So pretty recent.
I wonder what the argument would have been for needing a doctor's referral before.
I think just to like really make you think about your probably that same narrative about like you need
are you sure?
Are you positive?
Yeah. Are you sure?
Right. Yeah. So basically, and this kind of maybe speaks to like how much stigma there is still around this because of like the levels of confidentiality that went into like kind of trying to get this appointment. So you call like an anonymous line and you say like your name,
a password,
you say your name, you say like the date of your last period and like you give them a number to call you back at. And then they call you back like sometime the next day from like a blocked number. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. And then they like schedule your blood work and they schedule your ultrasound because you still need to get that done before you go get an abortion. And then after, well, at least for how it worked for me, I had to go get that done and then I called them back and then they scheduled the actual procedure for me.
And I guess the blood work and the ultrasound is just like just to confirm 100% like, yeah, you are coming in pregnant.
Yeah, basically they just want to know like how far along you are and stuff because sometimes like I took a test that told me like roughly how far along I was, but I don't think those are very accurate all the time. And like depending on like how far along you are, the procedure might vary.
How far along were you?
When I got the abortion, I was like just 6 weeks. So I was very, very early.
You were on it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and what is like the, so when you call in and they like structure these appointments that you need to go to, it like how long does it take to do those different things?
So it was quite fast, I think, because I called like on like August 27th or something like that. And I'm pretty sure my appointment for the blood work and the ultrasound was on September 9th. So it was a really quick turnaround. And like, honestly, that's like the most efficient I've ever seen the healthcare system work, because I got there at like 9 in the morning to do the blood work and ultrasound. And I was done by like 9:30.
Well, I guess they have to be, there has to be a high efficiency for it, because I mean, if someone calls and says, hey, I want to terminate a pregnancy, and they're like 2.5 months along, and correct me if I'm wrong.
What's that term? It's like the window of viability or
gestational limits.
Yeah, right.
Is it still 3 months? Is it still first trimester?
I think it's 20 weeks.
I also think it depends on where you are.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's provincially, but like definitely in the States, it depends on where you are.
I actually Googled this before I came in. I think there's provinces that have it as low as 12 weeks and then provinces that have it as high as like 23 weeks. So
20 weeks is what? Five months?
About that.
Four
and a half. Okay, cool. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's a time sensitive thing. So, I mean, you can't be going, oh, well, we'll see you in 3 months.
When they offer you times to schedule those appointments, are they like you said, it was at 9 o'clock. Is it like they're only open during like office hours that would be regular, like 9 to 5, or are there times outside of that window?
Well, this was actually that appointment that was at 9. That was just at like the regular VG, like kind of intake center for like blood work and ultrasound, like same place anywhere else would go. So, and they like scheduled that for me, and like the person doing the ultrasound knew like why I was there. They knew who had scheduled me. So she wasn't like asking me to look at the computer screen or anything like that to see the image, because obviously I didn't really want to.
Right.
Yeah. So
the reason why I kind of asked that question is because I'm curious about like accessibility. Like if somebody's working like a 9 to 5 job and it's hard to take time off, like I just feel like it shouldn't be something that like you should be obligated to take time off of work or like a vacation day, quote unquote, to have something like that done.
Yeah, it's not. So how it works when you get the actual procedure done, like assuming you're getting like a surgical abortion, because you can also do the medical abortion, which is you take a pill and then you take another pill like 24 hours later. Yeah, that's, you can do that up to 9 weeks, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the ultra plan B. It's plan C. D-E?
Yeah. So you take a pill to like terminate the pregnancy, and then you take another pill, which basically like induces miscarriage. So you,
whoa.
So you bleed for like 48 hours, and it's gnarly. Wild.
Before it came out of your mouth, I was like, please don't say liquefy.
Oh.
But I mean, you might as well have, you know?
It's, yeah, we'll get into that later. I've got some related stories. Anyways, so...
So do they ask you if you want that option? Like, yeah. Are they like, do you want to do the surgical or the...
Yeah, they offer you surgical medical? Or medical. The medical has a less of a success rate, to be honest, because it's like 1 in 20 that it won't work or something like that, whereas it's like 1 in 100 that the surgical one won't work.
Right.
So
whoa,
I...
Oh, that's even wild to think that there's like...
Yeah,
can like, you imagine going like, in for a surgical abortion and then them going, so we just couldn't do it and now you're going to have a baby.
But like, then another question arises, like, do they know that it didn't work when they do it? Or is it like a few months later you
I've never even thought about
I'm still pregnant.
Well, okay. So
we're like, nah. There's so many questions.
We're going to maybe get into some of that territory here in a little bit. That scary, but
okay.
So anyways, honestly, before I had the abortion, I'm like you, I fucking hate anything touching my veins. Like so I thought getting the blood work done was going to be the worst part because I was terrified of that. Like I was having panic attacks all over the place. I went with a friend because my partner was still in Scotland.
Oh, so it happened within 2 weeks. Like,
yeah.
Wow, that's so wild.
He was back for the actual procedure. Just while I was getting blood work.
I got you. Okay.
I thought that was going to be the worst part. I went to that with a friend. It actually ended up going really smoothly. He got back like a couple days after that. And then by that time, I'd already called and scheduled the actual procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So how it works is you come in. Everyone comes in at 7 in the morning.
Like, everyone as in like the whole abortion crew for Friday, like
yeah, basically. Right. It was really funny. We like went up the elevator to like whatever floor of the hospital we needed to be at, and there was like just like two or three other couples like sitting in the waiting room, and we're all like looking at each other like, yeah, we all know why we're here today.
Yeah.
So we're all sitting down, and then the nurse comes out from like some room down the hall that you can't see. And she calls a few names, and then I was in the first group, so we went in. And this is actually where we get to my favorite part of the story, actually, is so you go in, you sit in, you're rotating through a bunch of rooms, but the first room, you get an intake form, and the third question on the intake form, like it's like a standard hospital intake form, but the third question on it was, is there a possibility you might be pregnant? Yeah.
You're like,
I hope.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I don't want to say I hope, but I do hope.
Yeah. So that was the whole like lead up to the actual procedure was pretty chill. Like you're just sitting with like six other people who are all there for the same thing. And the day that I was there, pretty much everyone, a few of the other people who had been there had already had an abortion. So they kind of like knew what was going on.
Right.
Or they'd had one like a few years ago. So they were like kind of being like, it's not that bad or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. So we all kind of just hung out in like some hospital gowns and took our the pills that you need to take before you get an abortion and all that kind of stuff. So before you get it, you get like something to you get pills put in your cheeks to dilate your cervix. You get three Advils. You get an Ativan if you want, which I did. And then they also offer you a fentanyl like IV drip for like painkiller, which I said no to because I don't like people touching my veins. And I was like, it's not going to be that bad. And very, very, very wrong.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
When anybody offers fentanyl, you got to go. There's a reason
for that. Yeah. Yeah. You're offering me one of the strongest pain meds in existence. I think I'm in for a roller coaster.
Sick Boy Podcast will be right back after this very short break.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now what if we could fix it?
I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
So it was obviously, I'm going to say it's safe to assume, a painful experience.
Oh, yeah. I fully went into shock afterwards. Fuck. Like,
And which one did you do? Did you do surgical?
I did surgical.
Okay.
So that's like, if you, I don't, you do the medical at home, like on your own time. So you get to like chill out in your room and watch Netflix, I guess. But you're miscarrying. So that's that sucks too.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did it in the hospital. It was basically at like 9 I went in. They didn't give me the pills to dilate my cervix because I was so early, that they said they didn't need to. Went in, lay down on the bed. There was a nurse next to me, and I discovered that's because it's really painful and they're trying to keep you in place.
Right.
That's what I assume. It was way more painful than I thought it was going to be, probably because I didn't take the painkillers. So that sucked. And then afterwards, I remember I got up and I like, by the time I got to the recovery room, I was like blacking out and like throwing up, and my blood pressure had dropped a shit ton. So,
well, how long was the procedure?
Oh, it took like 3-4 minutes.
It's really, oh wow,
it's
wow.
really short. Yeah,
probably didn't feel that fast. So, I guess if it's painful,
no, it did not.
Is it? I mean, this is, I know this is going to sound like a weird and random, maybe silly question, but is it loud? Like, you know, is it like it like. Like, I'm just picturing, like, I picture, like, it to be so mechanical.
Like a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah, and, like, it's- and like a lot of tools and stuff like that. But, like, is it really way more simple than I'm like, imagining in my head?
I think because, it, like, if you're later along, like, you're around 2 months, which is about the average, you're probably going to get something more mechanical.
Right.
What, like, from what I saw, and I don't remember that clearly, but I think she was using like a turkey baster or something similar. Like
right.
That's what it sounded like for me. So it wasn't that loud.
That is making my ovaries hurt.
when they, my womb. So,
well, there's when, no, sorry, go ahead, Brian.
When they like give you the option for the medical or surgical abortion, do they like go into it in detail, like what the pros and cons are of each one?
They could have done to go into a little more detail, I think, because what I didn't know when I went in is because I was so early. Like, they will not do a surgical abortion before you are 6 weeks pregnant. You have to be 6 weeks pregnant before they'll do a surgical abortion because everything is too small for them to be able to see.
So you were at like the bare minimum.
I was at the bare minimum. So that should put into context how fucked up the laws in like Alabama are when they're like trying to ban abortion after 6 weeks because like you can't even do a surgical abortion before.
Whoa,
6 weeks.
Whoa, right.
Yeah. But
damn,
after I got
that shit's so crazy.
It's fucked up, yeah. So anyways, after I like went into the recovery room and like went into shock, I recovered pretty quickly. Like I was in, you know, they give you some snacks, which is nice.
What kind of snacks?
Like what kind of quality snacks are we talking here?
You get popsicles.
Okay. Yeah.
You get crackers.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Satisfying.
Granola bar.
I'm kind of imagining like, you know, like when you donate blood, like they have like this little like waiting area after with like Oreos and stuff like that. Chocolate milk.
It's like the same thing.
Sweet.
Yeah. So I was chilling out there for a bit. And then like, you know, once I stopped looking like really gross and pale, they were like, okay, you can go check. They want you to check like if you're bleeding a lot before they let you leave. So I went and checked and I was bleeding just like a little bit. And they're like, all right, you're good to go. So this was like 20 minutes after I'd gone into shock and I was like, all right, let's go.
What
they
give
you
process.
They give you a gift, like a gift bag. Maybe that's the wrong word.
A gift bag is definitely the wrong word, but I'm with you.
I think it has like
an information package.
Yeah.
An information package. It did have a snack in it and it also had like two condoms or something like that.
That sounds like a treat bag.
That's a treaty. Yeah.
These are
two condoms. They're
kind of
like,
it's kind of a slap in the face. The way, you know, like, they're like, use these, you dummy.
Yeah. These are like all the, the kind of like information stuff. There's a bit at the back where they have like a list of ways to talk to someone about using condoms.
So one of the pamphlets in here, it just says patient and family guide, male condom. So they really are going like, hey, use these. Like we're giving you these. We don't want to see you again.
Yeah.
Well,
how to talk about condoms with a partner.
It's so funny.
This is if the partner says, if the partner says to a column and you can say a column. So if the partner says condoms aren't romantic, you can say, what's more romantic than making love and protecting each other's health at the same time? That's a good one.
That's what I say to Kyla
every day. Sex. If the partner says, I don't stay hard when I put on a condom, you can say, I can do something about that.
Oh,
is
nice.
That what it says?
Yeah.
No shit.
Yeah, nice. Man. If the partner says, oh Jesus, this partner sounds manipulative. If the partner says, but I love you, you can say, then if you love me, you'll help me protect myself and slap them. Okay. One more. Let's do this. If your partner says, I won't have sex with you if you insist on using a condom.
You should probably just say
peace. Yeah. You can say, okay, let's pull it off. Let's put it off until we can agree. Let's satisfy each other without intercourse. That's a really
reasonable people.
Really kind person. Yeah. That's so interesting. I love that.
That aren't affected by you know, gross misconducts of a relationship.
Yeah. So you get your gift bag. I'm just going to keep calling it that.
Your gift bag, yeah.
We left. Oh, well, they walk you out back to... So I forgot to mention this, but you need to have someone with you when you go to get an abortion. You need to have a responsible adult to drive you home, like with their own vehicle.
It would be weird if you showed up with like a 10-year-old and you're like, this is my ride home.
Yeah. So went back out. My partner says, like, I'm a really fidgety person. And my partner's like, that's the only time I've ever seen you sit still in your life, which I think is because I was partially still in shock and also had just taken Ativan. So
yeah,
I was like very super chill, relaxed. Yeah. And that day was pretty fine. Like, went to McDonald's, then went home, had a nap, went to watch a movie in the evening. Like, everything seemed to be going okay. I wasn't bleeding that much.
But you ran into some complications.
Yeah. So the next day, it says in here, like in your after your procedure thing, that you can probably go back and do your thing, like go to work, go to school.
The next day.
Yeah. Oh. Which.
That seems wild to me.
From a physical standpoint, though, or a mental standpoint, it seems wild.
All of it. I think every ounce of it.
And especially from our perspective of not having a vagina, like the whole, I mean, we just have a different relationship with like blood, mm-hmm. things being in you. For a lot of people who don't have vaginas, not everybody, obviously, but like it's all like squirm inducing because I just don't have a relationship with really any of that.
Dude, if I wake up in the middle of the night and like pee and can't get back to sleep for like 30 minutes after I pee, I take the day off the next day. I'm like, fuck it, man. I had an awful night's sleep. I'm taking the day off. I have an abortion. Man, yeah. I don't know. I feel like I'd take a good couple weeks.
Seems like.
Yeah, I didn't because like at that point, like I had told my parents at that point and I had like given someone I worked with like a heads up about what was going on and like warned them that I wasn't there. I was going to need to take a couple days off.
Sure.
Like, just for appointments and stuff. So like she was in on it. So I had like someone that I was working with who could vouch for me, but I like not that many people knew what I was going through at that point.
Yeah.
And so I didn't want to be gone longer than I needed to be. And I thought I was fine. So the next day I did go back to like, I went back to uni. I went back to work 'cause I work on campus as well. But as the day started going on, I started like being in more and more pain and like it wasn't going away when I was taking painkillers. And I was like, oh, fuck, this sucks. But I kind of just ignored it. I didn't end up sleeping that night just because the cramps were too intense. And then the next day, same kind of thing. At this point, I'm starting to get kind of a bit more worried and like a bit more emotional and stuff. And then But I was like, I'm just going to power through, like, whatever, it's fine. And then I didn't sleep that night. And then the day after that is when shit started to get a bit weird, because I was like walking around and like, this is going to get gross, but I felt like something fall out of me.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Are you the one in 100?
No, it's complicated.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
So I was like, what the fuck? So I was
Sorry. What do you mean by you felt something fall out of you? Like, do you mean the feeling of like when you shit yourself? Like,
no.
Like, or do you just mean like you, like, I'm trying to wrap my head around like the sensation here. It's like, you know, when like when you burp, but you didn't even know that burp was coming. But it's like, that's a familiar feeling of a burp.
And then all of a sudden you feel like more empty or something like that.
Like, yeah. Afterwards. Like, what did you, or did, was it just like you felt your, like you felt in your underwear, like a weight, and you were like, what the fuck?
It's like, so you can kind of feel when you're bleeding, like if you're wearing a pad or something, if you don't have a tampon in, you can sometimes kind of feel like blood kind of falling out of you.
Yeah.
But it was like, it felt like that, but like, a lot of something just fell out of me. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So like I walked home and, like went to the washroom and there was like a blood clot, like the size of my fist, like sitting in my underwear.
Whoa.
Yeah. It was super gross. And there was like also like some actual tissue like as well. And I was like, that's fucked up.
Whoa.
At that point, they had said like that I could expect some blood clotting and I was like, well, maybe this is just the level that I should expect. But then that night, I didn't sleep again and I started having like weird fevery symptoms. And the next morning, I think I called like
311.
The 311 that night and like kind of explained to the nurse what was going on. And she's like, yeah, maybe go like seek medical assistance tomorrow. And I was like, okay. So I went to like the Dal clinic the next day and like had some more blood clots like before that like fall out of me, like really same, large blood clots,
same size.
Yeah.
Whoa. Like,
yeah,
just dropping baseballs.
Yeah, basically.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, I was like, you know, have you guys seen season 3 of Stranger Things?
Yeah.
You know those like gross special effects of like the people melting together?
Yeah,
it kind of looked like that.
Oh.
It's the best way.
I haven't seen it, but I'm picturing it.
Yeah, it's gross.
It's wild.
So I went and talked to the nurse or the doctor.
Were you freaking the fuck out?
I was really sleep deprived, so it wasn't really occurring to me to be really scared yet. So I talked to the doctor and she did like an exam. That's like another theme of this experience is that a lot of doctors stuck their hands in my vagina over the course of like 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun. Anyway, she was like, we're kind of worried about you because you just had a termination, the level for concern is like very, like it gets dropped. Like you go to the ER for a lot less, I guess, or like maybe not as dramatic symptoms because it could be the sign of something seriously wrong.
Mm. Yeah.
But basically what she said, she's like, you might have an infection. We're going to give you some antibiotics and some hardcore painkillers. So I went on like naproxen 500 or something like that and some painkillers. And for a while that seemed to work. Like everything did kind of like, I was still in a shit ton of pain for like the weekend and stuff like that. But like by the next week, I was still bleeding like a bit, but it had calmed down a lot.
Is it like your uterus falling apart? Like what's.
So basically, actually, one of the cool things about the Nova Scotia Choice Clinic is that you get free counseling through them for a year. So I decided to like take advantage of that. And I was talking to the counselor like the following week and I was explaining what had happened to me. And I was like, I don't know, maybe it had an infection or something like that. And she's like, well, what might have happened is because you were so early, there might have been like retained product, like they might not have gotten everything because it was really small.
Whoa.
So then your body was like trying to expel it like on its own.
Whoa.
And I was like, that's fucked up. I really hope that's not what happened. And I assumed I was recovering.
So like you kind of had an abortion and a miscarriage.
Yeah.
You know?
Basically, yeah.
Like you just went through both processes.
Mm-hmm. So it keeps going for like the story's not done.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah. So like that was basically, that ended up being what it was, but I didn't get that confirmed until like a month later. So
right.
Basically, I was just living my life, still bleeding all the time, but like not a dramatic amount. It was.
Were you like totally not sexually active at that time too?
You can do other things, dude.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Here, one sec. Let me just.
I'm just wondering, like, pain wise too. Like, if like was that just like totally not on the table? You're like, I don't know what it would. I guess the question for you is like, how did you feel about thinking about like having sexual intercourse after that?
So I mean, it definitely, like, I gave a lot of blowjobs for a while. Like, that was kind of what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, like, the bleeding got to the point where it was like, we don't really give a fuck. We can do penetrative sex again. But like, I did.
Was it like just like period to like typical ish period flow after a while?
Yeah, it was like very light period after a while. Like after a couple weeks, it was like that. So once it had gotten to that point, we did actually like start having like penetrative sex again. But I remember the first couple times we did, I ended up having panic attacks just because like it was like bringing up bad memories.
Yeah.
And, I don't know whether I was freaking out about just like kind of the sensation or if it was just because I was like so paranoid that I was like gonna get pregnant again, even though like at this time I was already on birth control and like, you know, practicing safe sex and stuff like that, because like kind of, you know, don't want to go down that road again.
Did you start birth control like right after?
Yeah, like the day after.
Okay.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention, I was like having nightmares about the procedure, like the whole, like all afterwards, like for weeks and weeks after that as well.
Jesus.
Did you find that the therapist helped with that?
I didn't end up really vibing with that counselor. I did end up getting more therapy later. I actually ended up going back to Ontario for a bit to hang out with my parents a couple weeks ago and talk to my therapist there, which really helped. Yeah. But actually, kind of where the story sort of concludes is I went to Montreal to visit my little sister. And then when I got back, like 2 days later, I started bleeding again, like a lot, and like not regular period bleeding. Like it was like blood clotty, gross, like just a lot of stuff was falling out of me. And I was like, so I went back to the doctor, like the Dal Clinic doctor, and I was like, what the fuck is going on with me? Like, I thought I was done. This is like a month after I'd had the abortion as well. And she was like, okay, so here's the deal. The retained product theory might be what's going on. If you don't stop bleeding by tonight, you need to go to the ER.
Retained product theory, which again is the retained product is like, didn't get it all.
They didn't get it all. Yeah, yeah. That's like the medical euphemism for like, sure, there's still like some pregnancy tissue like in your uterus. Nothing like that's ever going to be anything close to viable, but just like,
yeah, just like tissue of fetal.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Ooh, man,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So she was like, if you don't stop bleeding by tonight, you need to go to the ER. And they might have to perform a second procedure.
Whoa.
That was, I think when she said that was like the worst part of the whole experience, because I was still like so fucked up by the first one because it was so painful. So I had a bit of a breakdown at that point. I like called my partner that day. We went out to dinner. We went to Ronaldo's and got matzo sticks, which was really good because we were like last meal before we go sit in the ER all night.
I want matzo sticks right now.
No, they're really, really, really good. So that night we went to the ER and we ended up being there pretty much all night, waiting to see a doctor, just cause like I obviously wasn't like in critical condition or anything like that.
Yeah.
So did eventually see the doctor and they're like, okay, so we're going to need to do an ultrasound. Come back at 10:30 in the morning. So left the hospital at 5:30 in the morning and came back at 10:30 in the morning. Went and, you know, got back, got an ultrasound, got an internal ultrasound as well. So that's when they stick a camera like up
the
your
wand.
Vagina.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And then we went back and sat and they were like, we're going to come talk to you about your results in a little bit. And, you know, it's like a bad sign when they come back and they're like, okay, gown up and go to like another waiting room. And you're like, oh no. Shit. So then another doctor did come and was like, yeah, so there is still some retained product. We're going to have to send you to like ER gynecology. So I got sent somewhere else. And then another doctor came, did another exam. This is like Dr. Five.
Yeah.
Doing exams.
Yeah, you're just going through the rounds.
Jeez, you said that, like, this is, like, kind of where it concluded. And then you're like, I'm back in the hospital. Yeah. Like, another five doctors.
Yeah. Yeah. And at that point, the last doctor I saw there was like, here are your options. You can either take the second half of the abortion pill, which will like induce, like it's supposed to just induce like a miscarriage, to kind of try to flush everything out of your system, because like it's really it was like just a small amount left, so they're like, we probably don't need to do like another procedure. And she's like, or you can just see if it'll go away on its own, because there's no guarantee this pill will work, because that's not what it's designed for.
And by taking the pill, like is that typically a traumatic experience? Like you're gonna kind of go through like, you know, really intense cramps, and it like it's just gonna feel shitty.
It's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt. Yeah. And that's actually it, because she was like, it's gonna hurt and it might not work. I was like, fuck that. I'm not doing it. Yeah. And she's like, all right, well, you need to come in and get your blood work done again next week, because we tested your pregnancy hormone levels and it's at 11. It's supposed to be at 0. So we're gonna test you again in like 5 days and see how you're doing. And so then I left. Went home. I think I got really baked, took a nap, and then a week later went back and it had gone down to 5. So
okay,
so you were trending downwards.
So I was trending downwards. Yeah. And
at that point, do they need to see you again, or are they like, well, you know, if it dropped from 11 to 5, this is on
come back
way
next
out,
week.
You know,
yeah,
5 is at a low enough level that they basically treat it as 0. Like if it's below 5, they treat it as 0, because it was at 5 that was like my choice whether I wanted to come back in and do stuff. And I was like, no, I think I'm like, I'm good. I'm just gonna.
How long ago was this?
So the hospital thing was in like October, I believe. Like it was about a month after the abortion, which was on September 16th.
So. And how, like, what is Kate's life like today?
It's interesting. I'm still kind of getting better. If ironically, like if I hadn't had the abortion today, I would have been presenting my thesis to my classmates, because today's like the colloquium ceremony and right. I'm an honor student. So I was supposed to be presenting my thesis, but I ended up taking a little bit of a medical leave.
Right.
From some of my courses. I'll be like wrapping them up just later.
Physically though, like are you still like, do you still experience like weird bleeding kind of like out of the blue?
And, oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh really?
All the time.
So
yeah,
it's not, you're really not like out, but you're not back to your physical like baseline.
Yeah. I don't know whether it's like because I'm still adjusting to like being on birth control, or like whether it's because like my uterus is still throwing a temper tantrum, or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Has anybody told you whether this is like, you know, this is like an outlier situation, this never happens, and or is it something that's like, you know, this is fairly common, you know?
I've been told that this is like very unusual. This is not what typically happens. But I think because it was super early, like, and because I was like on the cusp of like not being eligible for a surgical abortion yet, that made like the procedure more difficult. But again, I don't think that this normally happens. Like, I don't think my experience is a representative experience. Yeah.
I hope that it's fucking sucks that you went through this all, but I feel like having this story put out there is like a really great like form of birth control for like a lot of people that are going to fucking listen to this, you know, like
oh my God,
it's, you know, it's like, it's wonderful that we have this like ability to terminate a pregnancy. If someone is like, I don't want to have a baby, mm-hmm. like, hey man, it's great. We live in 2020 pretty mm-hmm. much. And a lot of us are lucky enough that we're in a place where we can have the option to like go ahead and do that. But holy moly.
Yeah.
It's sometimes like,
it's gnarly.
Gnarly as fuck. And it's like, man. Well,
that's why they give you that stuff.
That's why they give you the male condom. Yeah. Like,
because in a perfect world,
you know, the birth control pill thing.
Well, yeah. In a perfect world, the clinic wouldn't exist. I mean, like that would be the, you know, the end goal. That's you know, probably impossible for, you know.
Has this experience, like for yourself personally, has this experience completely shifted your, because pre-pregnant Kate, abortion Kate, was kind of like, well, I guess, you know, I'm seeing a partner who's a male now, and it's like kind of a little loose about it. And now are you like, fucking birth control. Like, I am on the birth control. Like, well, we're going to make this.
Yeah, I'm on birth control. He's also getting snippy.
Okay, all right. Weeks, yeah,
so
right,
we're,
okay.
So we're, like, locking that shit down, which is, it's nice because it's nice that it's, like, I am fortunate enough to be with someone who doesn't, like, make me feel like it's entirely my responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To, like, you know, if you're in a partnership, like, you both kind of, I mean, I'm the one that's going to have to deal with the consequences, obviously, because I'm mm-hmm. the one with the uterus, but, no, I think that having a partner who's, like, willing to do that made it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. When it comes to, talking about this, because, like, you've been so candid and open with your experience, which, I think the three of us can say thank you for that. We're really grateful that you came in and talked so openly about this. And I know that I speak on behalf of our listeners when I say the same thing. When it comes to talking about this openly, did you face a lot of stigma or any stigma around your decision to go through having an abortion? And do you feel like you want to share your story and talk about this because there needs to be more light? Like, when we were talking about the political situation before, you mentioned that, you know, it's probably because people don't talk about this that much. Do you feel like you want to share your experience to give a voice to people who have gone through experiences like this?
Yeah, absolutely. I found that when you can't talk about, like, something that you've been through, you can't, like, make space for yourself to, like, recover from it or, like, ask for support. And I think, yeah, like, me not being able to, like, feel like I could just be, like, I'm having, like, a procedure done, like, I need a couple days off of work or whatever like that. Like, I think maybe if I had, like, given myself more time, I would have figured out something was going wrong quicker and maybe gotten some help faster, and it wouldn't have been such a horrible, like, drawn-out experience. Mm. I also, like, am quite privileged and, like, have a very supportive family and stuff like that. So I can talk about this without repercussions,
yeah,
for the most part. Like, I posted about it on Facebook, which did piss off some members of my family. I think mostly just because they were, like, it's not so much, like, they're upset that I had an abortion. It was just, like, not.
Keep it to yourself. Like, yeah, yeah, don't air your dirty laundry,
yeah,
kind
exactly.
of thing.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, stigma, though, does that make you feel shitty when, or are you, do you just kind of, like, a fuck it mentality to, like, if those people really are gonna talk down to me about this decision that I made, then, like, why
so
waste
it.
Time, like, caring about their reaction to it?
I feel like if they have a shitty decision, I want them to be like, I'm gonna be like, okay, well, you are, like, someone that cares about me. I want you to say what I want you to be able to say that to my face, and I don't think you can, like, kind of air that kind of shitty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, when it's someone you know, when it's someone you care about, and, like, that saying, you know, someone who has had an abortion is 100% true. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. even if you don't know who it is, like, abortion's kind of, like, a little bit of, like, a shitty club. And, like, once you start disclosing that you had one, like, so many other people I've yeah. met have been like, oh, me too. Or, oh, like, it was my mom or it was my coworker or someone like that. And it is, like, I think the stat, it's like 1 in 4 people who can get pregnant are going to have an abortion at some point in their life. So I feel like it's something that we should be able to talk about just so people have the room to kind of deal with it however they need to deal with it. Because for some people, it's like a relief and they never think about it. Or some people, it's a hard experience to go through.
Yeah.
And they're going to need some support.
And it's the same, it's kind of the same sort of same thing that we've run into with the discussions on this podcast surrounding miscarriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like people who have miscarriages, the numbers are unfathomable, but no one talks about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, you know, if we can start to get to that point where it just becomes more normal for people to express, like, what they've gone through and that they actually have gone through this thing, it will make it a lot easier for the people that do go through it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they'll have someone to lean on, or they'll know, at least they just don't feel so isolated and alone.
Exactly.
And again, it's like, it can be so vastly different. Like a miscarriage for one person can be this, like, yeah, it happened overnight. I kind of, you know, was uncomfortable a bit and then went on with my day the next day. But then the person next to them, it's kind of like your scenario where it was like, it was a living hell for 2 months, you know? So, oh man, wild.
Yeah, it was a wild time.
How are you doing now?
I'm working on, like, physically, I'm still bleeding, which is annoying, but like physically I'm doing okay. Mentally, like mental health wise, I'm still kind of fighting that battle a little bit. That's not like entirely to do with abortion. That's like something I've struggled with my whole life anyways. Obviously this is
I'm kind sure of the abortion didn't help.
Yeah, no, it didn't help. Didn't make it any better.
Yeah.
I think like, I don't know, mental illness is not a fun or pretty subject. I feel like it tends to get like romanticized, but I think like there was I was like a couple weeks after like the everything kind of went down and I went to the hospital and stuff like that. I was kind of just in like survival mode where I was like trying desperately to salvage my school semester and like working all the time. And that was like, cause I was like pretty depressed. That was all I had the energy to do. So my apartment was like disgusting. And, like I wasn't like maintaining like any of my like connections with my friends or my family or anything like that. So like, I remember like the day that I realized that like, fuck, I need to like step back and take a break. I like got home and like, I hadn't taken my like compost out in forever and there was like bugs in it. And I like freaked the fuck out because I hate bugs and I was like, this is disgusting. And I think actually like my uncle came over and he helped me like clean my apartment and he didn't ask me any questions. He was like, if you need me, I'm here. And it was like one of the nicest things anyone's ever done for me. And I was like, okay, if other people in my life are willing to like step up this much to help me get better, then I need to step up and like help me get better as well, because like I'm gonna just fall apart. So like at that point, that was when I like decided to take a couple ill grades for school and I went back to good old Guelph, Ontario, hung out with my mom and my cats and my therapist and my dad. So it was good.
Yeah you need that time.
Yeah,
that's really cool that your uncle did that. I kind of think like a question that makes me want to ask more of our guests is like, what is one thing that somebody did for you when going through this that made you feel better? Because everybody deals with illness in a different way or challenging experiences in a different way. And it's so hard to know how to support someone. And when you hear a diversity of experiences, then you're able to kind of, you know, try different things that might work with the person in your life that's going through something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What would you say out of everything, your entire experience with this process of abortion, what would you say is the biggest thing that it's taken away from you?
Definitely like a sense of innocence. I feel like part of the reason it kind of happened was I was never really dealt with a lot of serious consequences for things in my life. Like it's like that kind of feeling of invincibility. And I was like, it's not going to happen to me. And then it did. And then it went terribly wrong. So definitely lost that sense of like safety within the world after that happened, I guess.
What would you say is the biggest thing that it's given you?
I think, I know this is like a really common answer that people say that they feel like much more empathetic after going through kind of a traumatic experience or experiencing an illness. But honestly, that's probably a big one. Just, I think, especially mental health wise, kind of realizing that I need to have more patience with people. Like, and because I needed to learn to have more patience with myself, because even though like physically I may have not been that bad, like mentally I was like so fucking messed up. And I like that really took a toll on me, like more than the physical stuff. So kind of recognizing that everyone's like an expert in their own experience and sometimes people just like need more time.
Yeah.
And it's important for that, you know, like there's a reason why that is a common, like that's a common takeaway for people, because traumatic experiences as you know, as shitty as it is that most people have them at some point in their life, whatever form that comes in, it's a unifying experience. At the same time as it could be isolating, it's also very unifying, because you get that sense of this happened to me, it probably happened to basically everybody around me. You look at that, at life, at people through a different lens. And, you know, you gain that patience or that understanding that, you know, I don't know what they woke up with this morning, because I know yesterday I woke up with this shit, and like who knows what they're dealing with.
Like as annoying as it can be, Taylor, to hear you talk about your bike accident, I also, because you just talk about it so fucking much.
I didn't mention it. Well, I draw a lot from it.
I know. And I think it's made you a better person because of that.
Totally.
Not that you were a shitty person before, but better.
Not bad.
Full circle.
Yeah. Debatable.
It's debatable. In relation to where I was, I'm better.
Still bad.
Okay, this has been eye-opening for sure. And I always, I kind of prefaced the podcast with this by saying, you know, we've covered abortion a couple of times. Every time we talk about the same topic, it's always so vastly different for everyone. You know, we talk about diabetes like three times in the show. Each case is so different. And this is no exception. And I think it's one of those conversations that, like, people are going to take something from this, and maybe a lot of things from this. And so, Brian, you've already said it, but I want to say, like, thank you for that, for taking the time to choose to sit on a mic with the three of us and to share your story, because it really means a lot.
Well, thank you for listening.
And thank you all so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. We will be back next week, as we always are, with another interesting, fascinating, fun conversation. But in the meantime, if you want to support the podcast, you can go to Apple Podcasts, smash the subscribe button, leave a rating and a review. And there's another way you can support us too.
Yeah, you can smash your way on over onto Google Chrome and just type in. I mean, because if you're using anything other than Google Chrome, then...
I thought this was an ad.
I was like, what?
Google sponsorship.
You're going to smash your way on over to patreon.com/sickboy and become a patron. We got a lot of cool shit on there, and we love each and every one of you who have supported us in the past, and anyone who will support us in the future. You make it possible for us to do this and to hear stories and to travel and to meet new people. So thank you so much for that. Patreon.com/sickboy.
And thanks, as always, to Donovan, the CPAP Morgan, for the amazing sound design on this podcast. I was really nervous about picking something to make it sound like Donovan was doing in this part of the podcast.
I know.
Based on the content. So I'm just going to say, make it sound like you're just doing an ultrasound, because I think those sound weird, wet, and funny.
Oh, God. Ugh.
I think you should have gone with vacuum cleaner.
I didn't want to.
I was something more on the nose.
Oh, I was what? Like, make the sound of someone like unhooking a wire coat hanger.
Oh, sweet. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my God. Turn this off. I'm never doing this podcast again.
That is it for this week.
I'm Brian.
I'm Taylor.
I'm Jeremy.
And I'm KP.
And this is Cynthia.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.